Dillard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
Bro, I was scrolling through the IG the other day.
Yeah?
And I found that old... It was preseason last year, right? Wasn't this after Nick signed that Mama Bosa came on and was telling us about the omelet with the onions?
If by preseason you literally mean maybe like a day or two before week one.
Because I signed like 5 days before the opener.
I meant that. Yeah, like, I think we had her on like the next day, I think, after he signed.
Right.
Okay. So this would have been 13 months ago.
And I asked him, what do you feed that thing? And he wants like 7 Wagyu steaks. And she mentioned an omelet.
She mentioned an omelet for breakfast, which I think, if I'm remembering the recipe correctly, it was 7 eggs.
Right.
7 eggs, grilled onions, and was
broccoli,
it, was
I think.
Was it broccoli?
Yes.
It was a vegetable. I couldn't remember if it was, what vegetable.
They've got multiple hens on retainer.
So she told us all about it.
Nothing,
and
Randy. Hands,
like,
retainer.
And he's putting his retainer in right now, actually.
That's a 5.
Anyway.
Well done.
It's Invisalign. Thank you very much.
That's a retainer.
We need to get you a live read for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark Granny from Invisalign.
I had Invisalign.
I can't talk, but my teeth look great.
About same time, like, are you 30, 31?
28.
You're 28?
28.
I always ask you if you're 30.
Not yet on my retainer. This is still moving my teeth around.
Yes, but it's a series of retainers. I get it.
I'm just going to say this. It's adorable.
It is. I did it.
His teeth still move around.
It's a pain in the rear is what it is. It works. It's wonderful. I love Invisalign, but it hurts.
And expensive.
It's expensive. It's a pain.
It's a fixed cost, though, right? You do it once, and then that's it. It's not like you have to pay monthly for your thing.
I paid it all up front.
You save a little bit of money that way. You can finance that thing like a car if you want. But anyway.
You know, it's cheaper having jaggedy teeth. You know,
that is very true.
Yeah.
No, well, the tough thing is when you're like me and you love to eat, because you got to take the thing out every time you want to eat something.
Yeah. I'm going to eat it.
Right. And it's not easy if you've got a new set. It's not easy to get them off. Like, it's tough to get them off.
Yeah.
And then you put them down and I forgot them somewhere. And then you got to call someone and spend about, it's tough.
I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
But anyway, I did it. I did it in my 30s also. Yeah. So one thing where I got to get mad at my parents, even though when you become an adult, that's when you call and apologize. That's when you start to understand all the crap that mom and dad went through. But the one thing I could call them and be like, boy, you guys really screwed that up. My parents went to the ortho looked at me and went, tweener.
Yeah.
50-50. Doesn't, quote, need braces.
Yeah.
But probably should. Want to know what my parents did?
That's going to be a no from me.
No, they looked at me. They went, well, what do you want to do? What's a kid going to say?
Give me the headgear, Mom. You're telling me
I don't need metal in
that's
my face?
That's enough for me,
yeah,
Doug.
That's
Give me
no.
18 months of headgear, Mom. Please.
I'm like, let's eat. And then, of course, in my 30s, I'm getting teeth pulled and I need Invisalign and we got to do the whole dance and all of that stuff. So anyway, Grandy, I got a little soft spot for you.
I applaud your parents for not allowing the orthodontist to upsell you. Because don't get me started on dentists and orthodonture.
Well, how about this?
Mom and Dad, scam.
Yeah, but they felt so bad about it. Guess who paid for the expensive Invisalign in my 30s?
There you go.
Because they're like, we should have paid for braces 15 years ago.
It's good parenting.
And we didn't, so we'll take care of this. And I'm like, done. Good deal.
Of your 3 kids, how many have gone the braces route?
Oh, 2 for 2. With another one.
He's heading down that road.
Oh, for sure. Consultation sensation right around the corner.
Yeah, that's a buck.
Yeah.
It's actually more than a buck. that's going
to
be.
Just to put a bow on the Max Crosby thing.
Please.
Okay, 2 more years on his deal after this one. At a very high number. Although not crazy for Max Crosby. 22 and then 18 the next couple of years. Definitely worth it. The 49ers cannot fit that. They cannot grab another defensive lineman and have him be making more than $20 million per year with everything that they've got going on. I just don't see that. And then I'd also add, because I don't know if the Raiders are going to deal him or not. I'm with you, probably not, but I think it's on the table. But the other thing is I don't think the Raiders like dealing with the Niners. You made an interesting point when I mentioned Deontay Johnson, and you go, oh, there's history there. The Panthers and the Niners. It's kind of like Farhan and the Mariners farm system. Give me your laugh. Come on.
Yeah.
There you go. Like we're going to, I need a 18th string catcher. Call the Mariners.
Totally.
They've got someone for you. The Raiders and Niners, the Raiders don't want to deal with the Niners. That's why they didn't send him Khalil Mack when the Niners gave him a better offer. They sent him to Chicago. Mark Davis doesn't want to deal with the Niners. He doesn't want to help the Niners. Send Max Crosby to the Niners? I'd be shocked.
The Bears gave up two firsts, a third, and a sixth. And then the Bears also got a second and a fifth, a conditional fifth. Yeah. So two firsts, a third, and a sixth to get Khalil Mack. And I don't know if that would be the compensation for Max Crosby, but probably damn close to it. Two firsts, first and a second for sure. Especially a guy who's under that kind of control at that money. So I think it's a non-starter, not only because Niners-Raiders, but also because of the fact that compensation-wise, I don't think that the Niners would part with that. And I do think that the Niners could get a lot more bang for their buck by getting another good interior defensive lineman, a three technique, a run stopper, because you lost the Gravedigger, Javon Hargrave. I know he's better against the pass than he is the run.
They weren't stopping the run with him.
No, but they're even worse without him. And I can pull up all of the last game logs that I've charted. And in the second half of these games, teams, James Conner and Kyren Williams.
You're not wrong.
And, you know, in this past game, Sunday, it was a various Kareem Hunt and others, and it's just they are going straight down the middle against you. It's nothing tricky. There's no sleight of hand. There's no stretch to it. It is, we're going right at your interior defensive line, and we know that you've got Fred Warner and you've got nothing else in the linebacking level.
I'm wondering who's available. And I know those names, they're less sexy than having a wide receiver conversation because in the age of fantasy football, we all know the wide receivers. We don't know all the interior defensive linemen.
And I know Hassan Reddick is a rusher. He's an edge rusher, and he just signed. And I guess theoretically that means he's going to stay with the Jets?
I think so. That seems the way that it's going. But I mean, listen, you know, could you get DJ Jones back? I loved him.
Perfect.
I loved him. You know, could you do that? I don't know who's available at that position. I'm certainly not dismissing that as something that would help.
And the other one for me is linebacker, because everyone talking about Dre Greenlaw coming back. And I think Shanahan said it in his press availability yesterday that they're expecting him a couple of weeks after the bye. That, for me, feels more like a Thanksgiving thing than it does a Halloween thing. Late November, early December. And at that point, you're going to play three or four more games before he comes back. And that, for me, is a glaring need right now, linebacker. Because you've got Fred and you've got nothing else. And one thing that we saw in the Kansas City game, I think other teams will emulate, which is they're going to play offense to force you into base defense, which means you have to play three linebackers, and you only have one really good one. And so teams like Kansas City with their two tight ends, they're running everything over the middle in the linebacker level. They force you to play more of your standard 4-3 defense.
I have no idea what they have done such a good job of putting the wraps on Dre Greenlaw information. I have no idea what to expect. But they certainly have started to leak out info. They're comfortable with that with Christian McCaffrey, which tells me things are going well because they've set an expectation that Christian's going to potentially be ready week 10. Coming out of the bye to go against Tampa Bay, they've set that expectation, even though they won't call it an expectation. The fact that they've put that name on it is going to make us think, okay, and they have not done that with Dre. So you may well be right. I have no idea if we're going to see him at all, and what he's going to look like if we do. Yeah, what's
really
up, Grady?
Quick, guys, this is unrelated to those guys, but in the spirit of injury updates, or health updates, probably a better way to put it, Deebo Samuel, who's been in the hospital with pneumonia-like symptoms, with a liquid in his lungs, he has been released from the hospital.
Great.
Good news there.
That's very good news, and today is the off day for the team anyway. Does that mean he's back out on the practice field tomorrow? We'll get that report tomorrow, or maybe it's a let's give a couple day ramp up and he practices Thursday or Friday for the Sunday night game, or maybe not. But the release, that's obviously good step one. Let's go to Michael in Lemoore. Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for calling Willard and Dibbs.
No problem. Strong pass on TJ Jones for me. He couldn't stay healthy when he was with us. But I would make a call over into the NFC North and inquire about Romeo Doubs. Would be a complete plug-and-play player who they run the same system over in Green Bay as us, and he wouldn't have to take a week or two to get acclimated to this office and would just be a plug-and-play player right away. And he's expensive, still on a rookie contract, and is currently unhappy there. They just wanted to get you guys a spot up. Thoughts on that, and shout out to Steve Kerr, go Warriors.
Okay, yeah, Steve Kerr in an hour. Thank you, Michael. My only holdup, I don't dislike your idea, I just don't think it's very viable because at the trade deadline, you're not going to see playoff contenders helping other playoff contenders, especially in conference. The Green Bay Packers, if they want to move Romeo Doubs, which I don't know that they do, the Niners would probably be the last place. I mean, other than the Vikings and the Lions, would be the last place the Packers would like to send him. They do not want to make the 49ers better.
Yes, and whether or not Romeo Doubs is unhappy or not, and I can see where he might be unhappy, you've got Jaden Reed, who's already had some injury issues, hobbled by the ankle, and so if you're Green Bay, do you really want to give up one of your depth pieces at wide receiver when you've got a guy on a rookie deal still? I don't see that as a move that Green Bay would be making, especially when they look at themselves in a they're in a championship window this year. They have a good team, and they're really built on their three wide receiver sets. And so if you lose a guy, you're going to want Romeo Doubs, who is wide receiver four for them right now.
Yeah, you're looking most likely, the teams that you're looking at who are going to be sending players out, you're looking at the Patriots, you're looking at the Browns, you're looking at the Jags, you're looking at the Titans, you're looking at the Raiders, the New York Giants, the Carolina Panthers, and then in division, which probably is off the table. Like, I think those are the teams, maybe the Saints now, who've lost five in a row, but I doubt it. That's a little circumstantial. So those are the teams, if you want to look for players to the 49ers acquire, I think it's going to come from one of those teams. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Again, if the Niners were going to make an acquisition at one position, what would it be? 888-957-9570. Dibs, you're looking mainly at interior defensive line. I'm looking at wide receiver, and I'm giving you, we gave a few names, but the one I really love, and I think is just a tremendous fit, is Deontay Johnson of the Carolina Panthers. And I would be happy to part with a fifth-round draft pick to get him here and replace Brandon Ayuk and slow the pressure on Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing and bolster you for any potential games that Deebo Samuel and George Kittle miss, so that you could at least still have a receiving core of like Deontay Johnson and Juwan Jennings. That to me, that's a receiving core. That's an experienced group. He's a tough guy. He's played for Mike Tomlin, which tells me he blocks in the run game because they force that there too. I think he's a perfect fit. He's definitely going to get dealt by the Panthers, who are 1-6.
Is there an injury there? Because he's only played three games this year. And
Deontay?
Yeah, I'm looking at Ribs, hamstring, ankle.
Yeah, he's dealt with some question marks, but I do think that he has, I think he's played more than three games, if memory serves. Yeah, he's played in all seven. He's played in all seven. He's got 30 catches for 357 yards, three scores.
Okay.
He has had some questionable tags, but he's played through them. And been able to get through all the games. I think last week he barely had any targets.
Yeah, one catch. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, they played Washington and got blown off the field so fast that
man,
there just wasn't anything working, nothing going on. But talented guy who, if he's on a good offense, can put up numbers. I have no doubt on that. Let's go to Dave in the city. Hi, Dave. You're on Willard and Dibs.
Just wanted to say, I think you guys should trade. I think the Niners should trade for a wide receiver. The wide receiver I'd go after is Garrett Wilson. You're going to lose Deebo eventually. He's getting long in the tooth. especially the way we treat him, running him to the ground. You could get Garrett Wilson. I don't think he wants to be there and backing up Devontae. And honestly, he's probably the third option after Lazard. And talent-wise, I think he's young. I mean, if you tandem him with Ayuk the next 4 or 5 years, because he just got signed long-term, you give up a second, maybe a second next year. We don't do well in the top of the draft.
That's pretty expensive. Let me ask you this, though, Dave. You said you don't think Garrett wants to be there. Do you think the Jets in some way are activated to trade Garrett off of their roster, who's still on a rookie deal?
I mean, they're 2-5. If they're gonna lose him, he's gonna walk anyway.
But he's not a free agent.
No.
He's not a free agent. This is still a young player.
It's his third year.
Yeah, Dave, thanks.
They, have a fourth year there, and then they've got a club option for the fifth year. So, and he's making, next year his dead cap is $6.5 million. He's still a very, very cheap player.
Yeah, he's on a rookie deal.
I don't know if they're going to keep Devontae Adams beyond this year. I can't imagine that they will. Devontae Adams' number goes way up next year, and if this year doesn't go well for the Jets, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be 41 next year, and you're looking at maybe a reboot of the whole thing. You already have a new coach who you're probably going to have a new head coach next year. Devontae making that much money is probably going to be gone. Aaron Rodgers likely will be gone. So
maybe. I don't know if this is his last year, but I hear what you're saying. I
mean, if it continues to go in this direction.
No, if I'm the Jets, Garrett Wilson is not on the market.
Exactly.
I don't like it. Whether they're 2-5 or not, this is also, you got to look for the teams that think they're out of it and are about to lose the player. Garrett Wilson is not about to be lost. Garrett is signed for, he is under control, as you just said, for 2 more years. Young player, high draft pick, has put up numbers. I got to think that the New York Jets, one way or another, think Garrett Wilson is their future number one, if he's not their current number one. He got as many targets as Devontae did the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. Omari in the city is next up. Hey, Omari, thanks for calling.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
A couple of quick points, possibly, if I can. Mike McDonald, the Miami coach, didn't he call the plays in 2019 for the Niners? Wasn't he the
No, he was the run game coordinator, Omari, and so he was part of the offensive system, but Kyle Shanahan, I don't believe, Grandy, back me up on this, since Kyle Shanahan joined the 49ers, nobody has called a play not named Kyle.
Except for in the preseason.
And so,
yeah.
What I've noticed is that, as a few callers have talked about, I've heard the last couple of days, or how we've seen an OC call plays with Andy there. And I can't recall that Andy was like what we see today with Shanahan right now. I call him Shanahan until he wins. But and we've seen the guy, Andy had to learn, He had McNabb, he had, Mike, he had a lot of guys who can help him win, and he just couldn't get over the hump. And I just think that we're at a point where we're watching the exact same thing. History is repeating itself. And if Shanahan would go ahead and just, suck it up and let somebody else call the play so he can actually coach the game, because I'm sorry, the man can't multitask, and nobody can really. That's why Andy Reid has success now, and he didn't in Philly. Lastly, I want to say also, I wish that we could not have so many plays that we have tight formations all the time. Even when we're in a three wide receiver set, we have this really tight formation. So what happens is, like what happened with Spags, he was able to disguise his blitzes really easily. And it's like, when can we see some more spread offense so we can actually help Purdy see the field better? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Omari,
thank you, Omari. I like that.
Before you hang up, can I ask you a question? Are you under the impression that Andy Reid does not call the plays in Kansas City?
Well, I say this. I know there was a guy that was calling plays with him on the sideline. We've seen the TV pan another gentleman twice that was calling plays, and Andy was sitting there listening.
That's so Matt Nagy. Exactly.
Yeah, Matt Nagy. Thanks, Omari. Appreciate it.
I think his point is one that I've started making a little bit more often. It's a greater point of, role distribution, because Kyle Shanahan, he calls all the plays. He's got the play sheet folded over. He's got his pen, and he's really focused on that, and I think he's great at that. But the bigger picture of being the head coach is something where game management, down and distance situations, other things that maybe he's not as attentive to because he's so locked in on being a play caller.
Yeah, I mean, look, is there an adjustment that's needed if they continue to have trouble whenever there's chaos or they're down? I mean, who wouldn't be open to that conversation at a certain point? Right now, I'm a little bit more focused on personnel than play calling because they're at such a deficit with so many injuries. Here's where my head goes, though, too. He made a comment, and this is just me now, in my opinion, about Andy Reid. He said Andy had to go through, and he says Kyle's doing it now. He had to go through that situation in Philly, and he had to learn. And now he has learned, and it's working. My opinion, I don't think Andy learned crap. I think he got pat. I think that's what happened to Andy Reid. Andy got pat, and now Andy's a champ. I think Andy Reid was a phenomenal coach in Philadelphia, and he called plays, and they were very good, and they often went to the NFC title game, and they went to a Super Bowl, and they lost, and Donovan McNabb was good, but he ain't Patrick. So that's sort of just, it's a window into the way, like, that's how I feel about the arc of all this. When people make that comparison of Kyle now to Andy then, I'm sure, look, if you're awake every day, you learn stuff. So I'm sure Andy learned some things. I don't think he flipped something upside down when he went from Philly to Kansas City. I think he got pat. Because if you look at Andy in Kansas City, do you know what he was doing with Alex Smith? The same stuff he did with Donovan McNabb. Making the playoffs a lot and falling short.
11-5, 9-7, 11-5, 12-4, 10-6, 12-4.
Yeah.
Those are the years before they won the Super Bowl.
And they were good every year, just like the Niners are. Yes.
He went 11-11, 12-12, 13 in five straight years in Philadelphia. He won the NFC once in those 5 years, and of course he didn't win the Super Bowl. So I do think sometimes we get too fixated on the idea of Super Bowl or bust, yep, when we judge a head coach, because Andy was amazing in Philadelphia, but he never got over the hump, and that's where Kyle is right now. And I don't know what Andy does differently now versus then. I do know now he's got Matt Nagy, who I don't know who actually calls the plays, but he does have an offensive coordinator, and Kyle doesn't.
He does. Yeah, absolutely. And so, listen, if this all continues, you got to be open-minded to, like, taking a look at yourself. I mean, you know, go back to the visit Jay Gruden had with us right here on this show a few weeks ago when he was open with, like, yeah, the passing concept is not my favorite because it's not great when you're trailing. And you can't just be so good that you assume that you're going to be ahead most of the time, even though the 49ers spend a lot more time ahead than they do behind. Like, that is a fly in the ointment. Even the biggest Shanna fan in the world can't escape that. There is a fly in the ointment. If you can't function when you're trailing, it's a problem.
But it's something that maybe Kurt Warner said. I can't remember. Somebody came on earlier in the year and said, this is how they're built. They're built a certain way.
It was Kurt.
With, you know, multiple tight ends and a fullback, and you run a lot of two receiver sets. You're built to win the time of possession, run the ball, control the ball, lead, and win that way. You're not built, like, when they fall behind, like against Kansas City, forget the fact that you lost Ayuk and Debo had pneumonia and you didn't have Juwan. Forget all that. Even if you had those guys, your offense is not built to go 3 and 4 wide and just let Brock Purdy throw it all over the place.
888-957-9570. If you're going to trade for one position with the 49ers, what would it be? We'll keep taking your calls. So Sushi, Steve, and Jeff and Marin, Cowboy Sal, and guess who's on the line for you, Dibs?